We're going to start in Romans 1. So if you look at Romans 1, 18, that's where we'll start. Every fall, we always do a sort of a core values reminder. Our core values were right, you know, there are the banners that are hanging facing out toward Southland Drive. We've said in the past, we value truth, we value worship, we value community, we value mission. And that's something we've always reminded ourselves and what we're about. But what we're doing now is we're kind of repackaging that in a way that still says all of that, but says it in a way that reminds us, teaches us, and even compels us to live out who we are as Christians. For instance, today we're talking about learners. We're learners. That used to, you know, a year ago, we preached a sermon entitled, We Value Truth. And so, but we're just saying now, yeah, we do value truth, and because we value truth, we are learners. We're followers of Christ who are growing and learning to obey his commandments and obey his teaching, okay? That's our identity. As we reminded ourselves last week, when we say we are learners, we are servants, we are family, we are missionaries, as we say those things, we're not saying, hey, we've looked at ourselves, at our personalities, and our certain gift mix, and this is what we really determined, you know, we're really, really good at this stuff, and then we stink at it. You know, it's kind of like, I've always had that fear, like, you know, American Idol, you know, when they're out there and they're trying out, and like, they just stink, and you're thinking, how did they ever get through to the final round? They think they're a singer, and didn't someone love them enough to say, please don't embarrass yourself on national TV? You know, that's kind of our fear. We're not saying, hey, we're great at this, right? Now, but we are saying this. This is who God has created us to be in Christ Jesus. This is our identity. At the most basic level, this is what God has made us to be. Before we were Christians, we weren't learners. Before we were Christians, we weren't servants. Before Christ came into our hearts, we weren't family. Before Christ became our Lord and has saved us and ransomed us from the power of sin and death, before that, we weren't missionaries. We had no desire, but he has saved us and called us and enabled us to be this, learners, servants, or worshipers, you can say, family, and missionaries. And so that's what we're saying. We are learners. This is who God has created us to be, and we say it's important for us to talk about who we are, because once we identify who we are, we know what God empowers. We know what God empowers us to be. We know what God we can pursue, knowing that we will be pursuing this not in our own strength, but in the power that God supplies, okay? So today we're going to talk about learners. We are learners. We're followers of Christ who are learning to obey his commandments. Now, you say, where does it say in the Bible that we're learners? I've looked and I can't really find it. And honestly, the word learner is just, it's synonymous with disciple, okay? When we say we're learners, we're actually just saying in a different way, we are disciples of Jesus. Now, we almost went with disciples, but we decided to stick with learners because it's kind of like, it's just one of those words in our context. It's been used so much and in so many different ways, it's kind of lost its meaning and lost its punch, so to speak. And so we are disciples. Jesus called to himself 12 disciples. He trained them. He taught them. They were his followers. They were their first allegiance was to him. That was what was entailed in being a disciple or a learner of Jesus. And they joined him on mission. All that's a part of that. In the book of Acts, the early believers were often and regularly referred to as disciples. And there were disciples here and there were disciples there and all of this and that. And so that's what we're saying. We are learners. We are disciples. It's just synonymous. We are student followers of Jesus who have found a new identity in him and learning to obey him. Okay? So the thing that we understand when we talk about and the significance of saying we're learners, we do so understanding, as I said, before Christ, we were not learners. We were not disciples. We were not followers. We did not value truth. You say, well, isn't everybody sort of a learner? Well, there are all different kinds of learners, but when we talk about being a learner, we're talking about someone who is receptive to and responding toward spiritual reality, spiritual truth, truth about who God is, the gospel, who God has revealed himself to be. That's what we're talking about. When we say we're learners, we're not just, you know, not that I have an econ class at UK and I'm a learner now. I was not saying that. We're talking about God has revealed truth. And by nature, we are not followers. We are not learners. We have no desire toward that revelation. We see that in Romans 1. Now, I normally ask you to stand, but we're going to a couple different places, so I'm not going to ask you to stand. Just follow along with me. In Romans 1, verse 18 and following, this is God's word. And Paul says here to the Christians at Rome, he says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and the unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness," what do? "Suppress the truth." Okay? This is a picture of humanity apart from Christ. Paul says, look at our world. What's messed up? What's wrong with our world? What's going on out there? Paul says, God's wrath is being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men or women as well, humans, who by their unrighteousness suppress truth. They're not fans of truth. They hate truth. Look at what he says. Verse 19, "For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, claiming to be learners, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves." So who were we by nature? We were like the rest of the world. What does Paul say about it? That the rest of the world, they're not people who respond to truth and submit to God. No, they suppress the truth and reject God. They don't respond, they reject. They don't submit, they suppress. Truth gets in the way of our lives. God's revelation of himself in the gospel, God's revelation of himself in Christ can mess up our lives because, I'm speaking in a human way, it messes with our allegiances. It messes with our sins. How do people suppress the truth? Paul says, by their unrighteousness. The reason people don't by nature love truth is because by nature we love sin. You can't love sin and love God's revelation of himself in the gospel, the truth, at the same time. It's one or the other. And by nature, all of us by nature are at one point in this boat, and some of us still may be, that we reject God's revelation of himself. We reject God's revealing of himself in the gospel, and even in creation, even no matter if someone hasn't even heard the gospel, they still have had enough revelation to understand that God is there. There's this big old light in the sky, 93 million miles away, that is a source of life for us, provides heat and you know, just makes it exist. And we have this other satellite in the sky called a moon that reflects that light and gives us light at night. And we have amazing human bodies with the most amazing thing is with eyes that can see and focus. It's just unbelievable, the complexity of creation. And you look at it, and Paul says, through the things that have been made, it is obvious to people, by someone who just looks, you know, without any bias, if just a neutrality, there's a God there. But instead of accepting that revelation, they've denied that revelation. They've suppressed that. They've rejected that because of unrighteousness. They love to sin. This is not saying that people reject the gospel. People reject God's truth because they are mentally deficient. The reason that we ultimately by nature reject God's truth is because we are morally deficient. It's not a question of the mind at first. It has our hearts have an impact on our mind, but it begins in our heart. We love sin and we don't want to give up sin. And so many people could testify to the fact that, you know, they came to college and they were living for themselves and they had all these plans of studying half the time and like being naked the rest of the time. That was their plans in college. And then suddenly they were able to comprehend and understand God's revelation of himself in Christ. They understood what sin was. They understood who Christ was, what Christ did. And suddenly everything changed. It messed up their life. They had to put their clothes back on, and they kind of wanted to, and so, man, that's what truth does. That's why people are surprised, because they don't want to do that. They want to live for themselves. They suppress truth in unrighteousness. Now flip over to Ephesians 4, which is really the primary text today. Ephesians 4 and in verse 17. What Paul is talking here to Christians. Ephesians 4, if you don't have your Bibles, it'll be on the screen. Ephesians 4, 17, Paul says, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do." Okay? "In the futility of their minds, they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them." And why? "Due to their hardness of heart." You see why people are separated from God? You see why people are living in sin? Their minds are darkened. Their understanding is darkened. They're alienated from God and the life that is in them because of a lack of knowledge. They are ignorant. It's why they're alienated from God. And that ultimately comes down, again, to a moral issue. It's the hardness of their heart. And so what's the result of that? What's the fruit of that life? They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Now, some of us have been rescued out of that life path as a child early on because we heard the gospel and by God's grace responded. But don't mistake. That's just the grace of God in your life. But by nature, if God's grace had not pursued us, this is the path we all would have taken. Futile minds, darkened understanding, cut off from God because of the ignorance that is in us, and giving ourselves over to sensuality and lustful, greedy, desiring all kinds and every kinds of impurity. The point being, by nature, we are not learners of Jesus. It is something that God has worked in us, has caused to happen in us. Is that the way we go? What does Paul say in the next verse there? He says, you know, let's read 19 again. "They become callous and given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity." And then verse 20, sort of our money verse and following. "But that is not the way you learned Christ." What's the distinction between a world greedy after every kind of impurity and these believers in Ephesus? What has happened to them that has caused them not to live in that way, not to be callous? And when they say callous, insensitive to any type of spiritual stimuli, not responsive to it at all. That's callous. What has caused the big difference between the world and these body of believers? He says, here's what happened. You've learned Christ. You were made a learner. That's not the way you learned Christ. And he's assuming, like, well, maybe there's some there that aren't. He goes, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. All right, now just to go ahead and finish this thought out. What is the truth that's in Jesus? Verse 22, "To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds." That's a continual process. That's a continual learning process. To be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And so here, what's the difference here? They learned Christ. How did they learn Christ? Someone came to them. Could have been Paul, could have been other people who were with Paul, or even someone who was not even with Paul. But this audience here, someone came to them and preached the gospel and preached truth, gospel truth, the truth about Jesus, all right? And with the preaching of the gospel combined with the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit, their eyes were opened and they were able to comprehend and see their state, to see their plight, to see their condition, and to be moved in fear to understand that God is holy, God is just, the wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. And they understood they had a need for salvation. They understood who Jesus was. They understood what he was doing on the cross, that he was absorbing and assuaging the very wrath of God toward their sins. And they reached out. They they fled to Christ to find mercy and grace and salvation from the wrath that is to come. That's what happened. That was the beginning of their learning of Christ. But they came to an understanding. They came to a knowledge. Now, they didn't have it all down. They weren't, you know, just suddenly biblical scholars. They suddenly didn't have it all down and what all that entailed. But that's where they began this road of learning. That's how Paul describes it. It's not my words. That they learned Christ and the truth that is in him. That is in, not just him, but is in Jesus. We just call that the gospel of what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. It reveals. And notice, and I don't want to, as we talk about understanding and knowledge and all this stuff, I do not want to give the impression that becoming a Christian involves learning the teachings of Jesus and properly applying them in our lives. That's not what Paul says. He doesn't say, but that's not the way you learn to follow Jesus' teachings. It's not a core. You're not a Christian because you identify Jesus as a wise teacher and you apply his teachings to you, his practices to you, and that makes you a Christian. That's not what salvation is. Jesus does have teaching. But the truth that saves us, the knowledge that saves is the truth that is in Jesus. It is Jesus who saves us. Now, if I wanted to be like any other religion, let's just pick out one, Buddhism, even though I guess that's a religion, even though they're not theistic, but let's just pretend they are. Say I wanted to be a Buddhist, all right? Now, if I wanted to be a Buddhist, what do I have to do? Do I have to believe any certain things about Buddha necessarily? It's really more down to the teachings of Buddhism, right? There's a core doctrine. There's a core set of teachings. And as I learn those and practice those, I become a Buddhist, I guess, or I would. That's about every religion. It revolves around, for Islam, it's the Quran, the Holy Quran, Revelation, okay? But that's not Christianity. You know, see, it doesn't matter what kind of dude Muhammad was. I mean, he was wounded in battle 3 times. That doesn't matter. What's really important, the revelation of God is not Muhammad. The revelation of God is the Quran. Muhammad just had to be the prophet that God spoke through. But that's how. But in Christianity, we're nothing like that. We're not saying the God revealing himself to humanity is in the person of Jesus. And what makes you a Christian is not applying the teachings of Jesus to your life. It's not that. The gospel is not about applying. The gospel is about events. It's about a historical person, Jesus of Nazareth. And everything we believe and preach hangs on the historicity and the events that happened in his life. It is about a death, a burial, a resurrection from Christ from the dead. That's what that's the truth that is in Jesus. It's about events. It's vitally important. If Jesus didn't live, if Jesus didn't live a perfect life, if Jesus didn't die on the cross, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, guess what? It doesn't matter what he said. The teaching is useless. It is the truth that is in Christ, that is in Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth. And we are saved not by applying his teaching to our life, but we are saved by him, by Jesus. Oh, Jesus, you saved us. Didn't we just sing that? Wasn't about, hey, oh, Jesus, we read your word and we did it in our lives. And that was really bad. That's not what this is. Oh, you saved us. He lived. He was real. He lived. He died in our place and he lives. He has been raised. He has ascended. He has been seated by his Father at a position of preeminence and supremacy. He is the Lord of the universe and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. And from there, he calls us to himself. It is the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He calls us to his own excellence and glory. He, Jesus, the one who walked the earth, now glorified in heaven, still one of us, still fully God. He calls us to himself. He calls us to learn from him and to follow him. There is truth that is consistent with all of this. And that's what being a Christian is. It's being called and saved and following Jesus and living a life consistent with who he is and who he has revealed God to be. I said last week, we look at the cross and the cross reveals to us more about God than any star or any mountain range or any canyon or any galaxy. You look at that and you say, hey, there's a stars out there, there's galaxies. I mean, God's big, God's powerful, if God even is. But in Christ, we see God is, because he rose from the dead. God is. He calmed storms. He healed. And that God is holy. God hates sin because there was a cross involved. Does God hate sin? Yes. How do I know that? Because of a cross. The gospel tells me that. Does God love sinners? Yes. How do I know that? Because the cross. He sent his own son. All of this gets revealed. That's, all of this is the truth that is in Jesus. And so when we look at the gospel, as we value truth, we value the gospel as believers, and we are lifelong learners of the gospel. After we follow Christ, after we're ransomed by him, it is now his will that we follow him and live a life consistent with the truth of the gospel. Okay? That's why Paul says, I need to tell you, bunch of Christians, something there in Ephesus. Quit living like the pagans, all right? Quit doing that. Because that's not what you learned when you learned Christ. What is true? What does the gospel reveal to us? That not only did Jesus come to save us from sin's penalty, that being hell, but he came to ransom us and rescue us from sin's power. So that what we're supposed to be doing is, the reason he died was to free us from sin. Some people think he's freed us to sin. It's a license. No. Paul says, that's not the way you learn Christ. The truth that is consistent with the gospel is this, that there is a new person that we have been made to be. We have been created to be. God loves sinners, and he determined all the way back in eternity past that he was going to save sinners. And free them from the penalty of sin, but that he was going to make them holy and blameless before him. Ephesians 1 tells us that. That he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, what? That we should be holy and blameless. Romans 8:29 says that those he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. That's the gospel. That's what we got to learn. You don't get that day one after you become a Christian. You kind of pick that up. But we're lifelong learners. We begin to pursue that and follow. And then we learn to interpret all of life through this lens of the gospel. Okay? And here's why it's important. Because Paul says here, put off the old self, that old you before Christ, the one who is corrupt through deceitful desire. And then here's what you need to do to put on the new stuff. You need to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. There needs to be learning. There needs to be comprehension. There needs to be understanding. There needs to be clarity. There needs to be a growing and a learning that takes place so that you can put on the new you. Discard the old. Put on the new you. And this new you, guess what? It's not your idea of the new you. It's like, well, I got to quit that. I think I'm going to be like this. I'm going to give this up, and I'm going to hold on to this. That's not what we're talking about here. Put off the old you and put on the new self. But who created the new self? God did. He has destined who we're to be. That this new Tony is a Tony that has been saved from sin, but also is going to be conformed to the image of God in all, to say, holiness and righteousness. Is that what it says? That gives me direction, doesn't it? It gives me a guide. And so that's the gospel. But what's important for us as we seek to live a life pleasing to Christ, as we seek to be Jesus' people, as we seek to live out this life, proper attitude and proper emotions and proper, and I say proper, I mean right, correct, proper actions, and this is the truth that you need to remember, proper attitudes, emotions, and actions are born out of the comprehension of gospel truth, of spiritual reality. Okay? The gospel, God reveals himself through the gospel and tells us who he is, who Christ was and what Christ did, and who we are in Christ. And it's as we comprehend who God is, and as we understand what Christ has done for us in all of its immensity and glory, And as we comprehend who we are in Christ Jesus, that understanding, this is why we're learners, that understanding, that comprehension, that learning is what produces in us proper emotions, proper attitudes, and proper behaviors. I can give you some behavior on the short term by myself, okay? I can do some moral reform until I get sick and tired of it and don't want to do it anymore and quit and tired of faking it. See, what I struggle with is that is the right and proper emotion, the right and proper attitude behind the behavior. So how is that, how is proper emotion and attitude and the resulting behavior produced in us as learners, as we better understand and comprehend gospel truth? That's what we're learning. That's why the gospel is central to us. It defines, determines, and drives everything we do. And as people who were once alienated from God, we understand that we've got a lot of learning, we've got a lot of understanding and a lot of comprehending to do. That's why, did you notice Scott's prayer? I hate to do this, but I'm going to rob it off of you here. Notice what it says. It says, grant to us that our hearts, being freed from worldly affairs, may hear and grasp your holy word with diligence and faith. Why do we pray that? Why do we pray that God would help us comprehend and understand? Because that's when we see fruit. Our problem is that our hearts were darkened. Our hearts were corrupt. Our hearts were hostile to God, carnal. And when we come to Christ, our status changes, our legal status changes, but guess what? The moment after I trust and flee to Christ, I have the Holy Spirit inside of me. I'm now have God's grace operative in me, but guess what? I'm still pretty much living in darkness there. I've got some light. Now I've got to go toward the light and away from the darkness. I'm still ignorant. I'm still have to learn. And that's what we're talking about when we say we're learners. Now we can pursue God. Now we can learn. Now we can learn from Jesus and the truth that is in him. And as believers, that's what we want to do. We want to constantly be clarifying and living out and using the gospel to teach us and to grow us, and so that we can follow Christ correctly, and that we will actually see the fruit of proper emotions, attitudes, and obedience in our life. Does that make sense? A lot of words there. I probably could have said it a lot more efficiently if I weren't so tired. But anyway. But that's why we say we're learners. Beforehand, we couldn't learn. By the grace of God, he has opened our eyes to see. By the grace of God, now we actually want to learn. We actually desire to learn. We read our Bibles. We want to read our Bibles. And when we don't read our Bibles, we're like, man, I wish I'd read my Bible. Because we have a yearning, a desire that God has placed inside of us to learn and to comprehend and to understand. And as this prayer illustrated this morning, we also pray for learning. Because everything that we comprehend is given to us by God, we pray for that. We pray for that. We pray for God to open up our eyes. We pray for God to help us understand. We pray for that. That's our PCG leaders, DNA leaders. We pray. Those are great prayers every time. I didn't actually even pray today because I was in a hurry. But normally before I preach, as luckily I have a number of sermons to testify to this, but I actually honestly do pray God open our eyes to help us to see so we can comprehend and understand, because we're learners. And by God's grace, we can learn, and he desires for us to learn. So we use this gospel serves sort of as the lens for us. And we just use the gospel as we grow together to remind us so that we can continue on the right path. Because your faith will be shipwrecked really, really quickly if you don't continually focus on learning and living a life consistent with God's revealed truth, gospel truth. All right? We have to remind ourselves as learners. We have to remind ourselves of who we are in Christ. How do I live? Is it okay for me? Like I have a body, a mortal body that is dying. I got gray hair. I'm getting old. Used to, I could buzz my hair on the sides, you know, and you couldn't see that I had gray hair. And now I just have to go bald completely for you not to know that I have gray hair. My body is mortal. it's earthly, and it's also my body is still corrupt. My body desires things that are evil, carnal, fleshly desires. That's why Paul said, prays in Romans 7, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from what? This body of death. So I just, when it comes to being a learner, I'm just not thinking, well, I'll just do what I want to do. I feel what feels right. No. What feels right's carnal. But now with the truth of God and the grace of God operative in my life, now the gospel says what? That we are children of God. That we are created in Christ Jesus to be holy and blameless. We are to be holy and pure and righteous. And we're not there yet, but we're progressing that way. And one day we'll eventually get there. But it is a learning process. As we look at Titus, Kelly, Titus 2, very familiar verses. This is what Paul says there to Titus, who is a pastor in Crete, on the island of Crete. He says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people. Talking about Christ. God has revealed himself. God's grace has revealed itself in Christ, bringing salvation. And then what does God's grace do to us? What is it? What is God's grace? When it's operative in our life, when God's grace is operative in our lives, what is it doing for us? Training us. Teaching us, correcting us. We're learners. God's grace is training us to do what? To live like we want to do what we want? No, to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. And it goes on. Waiting for our blessed hope, that is the appearing of Jesus, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And what is the truth that is in Jesus? What is this? Who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness, and my favorite part, and to purify for himself a people of his very own possession who are what? Zealous for good works. That was the purpose. That's the purpose of us being, what did Christ die on the cross? What does the cross mean? He gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to create for himself, we are his, a people of his very own possession who are zealous for good works. That's who we are in Christ. When God awakened us and saved us and ransomed us out of our sin and out of that life that we were in, he did so for this purpose. To rescue us and redeem us from all lawlessness and sinfulness, and to create for us, all of us, a people who to purify them and make them zealous for good works. That's who we are. That's where we're going. That informed, I learned that, and I follow that, and I apply that to my life. Gospel truth, you see. Identity is foundational for behavior. And when you grasp that, when you think about who we were before Christ, when you think about the number of times that we have rebelled and rejected Christ, when you think about the skeletons in our closet, when you think about the rebellion and even the sin that still remains in our bodies and the things we crave even still, it is amazing how great God's grace and mercy is towards us. And once you comprehend that, once you realize that, when you say with Paul, wretched man that I am, guess what? There comes the affections. There comes the love. There comes the proper emotion. There comes the proper. Now I'm acting in mercy. Now I'm acting in grace. Now I'm acting good work. I'm doing things for people, loving, serving other people. I'm a servant. I'm all of this. Why? Because of gratitude of what God has done for me, for us in Christ Jesus. See, truth, gospel truth fuels our affections, proper affections, and proper behavior. You get that? That's why we're learners. That's why we're constantly looking, because this is against our nature. We are sinners. We're doubters. We're unbelievers. There's parts of my life even I'm unbelieving today in, like certain things I'm not trusting God in. There's certain truths about God that I'm not believing and grasping by faith and embracing by faith, and it leads to bad behavior as a result. But that's why we're learners. We have to constantly learn. Have to constantly remind ourselves because of who we are by nature. God has made us learners, and so we pursue that. So we remind ourselves constantly of the gospel. It tells us where we're going. But anytime, let me take it from me, anytime you seek to be holy, anytime you seek to pursue righteousness and purity, guess what you're going to be forced with or faced with constantly the fact that you're not there. When you first become a believer, most people think, I've done some bad things and the cross saves me from that. I get to go to heaven because even though I did these bad things. After you're on the road for a while and the Holy Spirit begins to shine light in our hearts and in our minds, there's a crisis that happens inside because you begin to see the enormity of your own sin and impurity. There are times when you'll think, I don't even know if I'm even a believer or not because of all the evil, all the carnal, all the stuff that I see. Which way are you going to go then? What's going to be the proper attitude, behavior there? What guides you there? You know what guides you there? The gospel. How are we saved? What makes us right with God? Our inner purity? Is that what the Bible says? Are we right with God because we're pure inside? Are we right with God because we have good desires? Is what justified us with God? Our works and our behavior, is that what makes us right with God? What? We are justified by faith in Christ. It is Christ's work that makes me right with God. It is Christ's work on the cross that makes us right and brings God's favor to our life. It is independent of us. And as simple as that sounds, most of us will have to remind ourselves of that in the morning. We have to learn. We have to constantly learn to apply the gospel in our lives. When we sin, the gospel reminds us that we're saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves. And we now, with seeing the sin in our lives, for seeing the imperfections and the evil desire, you know what we do there? Proper behavior. We run to God with boldness and confidence, knowing that we're right. We are saved by the name of Christ, by the character of Christ, not by ourselves. This is basic stuff, but none of us have mastered this yet. So the gospel, it clarifies the direction that we go. It clarifies our standing with God when we sin. It clarifies who we are in Christ. And that's what we're saying is that it is the comprehension of who we are. It is the comprehension, constant understanding of who God is, what Christ has done, and who we are in Christ that fosters proper emotions, attitudes, and behavior. Let me wrap up here. We just take the gospel, as I said, and we just use it. We learn to go throughout life and interpret all of reality through the lens of who God is as he's revealed to us in Christ. Okay? The gospel, it determines and drives everything we do. We use the gospel as a lens through which we interpret things. Okay? Your suffering, difficulties abound. Why is that? Is God not listening? Is God mad? Has God forgotten you? So often we want to start with those circumstances, and we think we want to judge God and ascertain as to who God is by our circumstances. But as learners, we must learn to start with the gospel. Had a girl at work not too long ago said to me, "Tony, how can I know that God loves me? How can I know that for sure?" And I was working and I said, "Well, it's real easy. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. It's really that easy. The Bible tells me that's how we know God loves us." And she goes, "No. I want to know, how can I know that he really loves me?" So I thought, okay, let me get a little bit more simpler here. Simplify it a bit more. The Bible tells us that Jesus came and he died on the cross. And why did God give his son Jesus? Because he loved us. This girl claims to be was professing Christian. He loves us. He demonstrated his love for us. And while we were sinners, Christ died for us. The gospel tells us that. The Bible tells us that. And she said, "Now, I know what the Bible says, but I want to know, how do I know that he really loves me? Like, what are you talking about? Like, in my life, real stuff happening." I said, "Why would you say God doesn't love you?" "Well, me and my boyfriend broke up. He's with somebody else. I had to drop out of school, all this stuff." "What was she doing?" She was starting with circumstances and using that as revelation as to who God is. What we have to do, what I tried to school her with, was this. You have to learn not to do that. As a learner, you learn, okay, we start with a cross. God's love is established on a hill called Calvary. God demonstrated his love for us, that while we were sinners, rebels, enemies of God, Christ died for us. So God's love for us is established. So now why is this happening to me? Why is all this stuff happening? Here's why. Because God loves us. God loves you. Why do you not have a boyfriend? Because God loves you. And obviously doesn't either want you to have a boyfriend this time, don't want to have that boyfriend, or once got another one for you to marry. I don't know. But we always learn to start with the gospel. We have to learn to use that truth of who God is to interpret everything in our life. What cannot be disputed is that God loves us as his children and gave his son for us, and that's determined. Now everything else is interpreted based on that reality. You know what? That takes practice. And you can even get it right once and mess it up the next day on something else. Learners. So who is God? Who are we? We are learners. God has created us to be, and with the ability now to comprehend and ascertain and understand spiritual reality, gospel truth, who he is in Christ. And so now we're learners. We want to learn. You don't have to twist my arm to make me want to read the Bible or learn about God or talk about Jesus. You know, I've got that now. That's born in us of God. But not only are we learners, not only do we want to learn, and this is the last point, we want to help each other learn. Everything about Ephesians 4, I couldn't read all of it because of time constraints, but it's set out in a corporate setting. Whenever you see now I say this and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as Gentiles do. See, if Paul was from Trap, Kentucky, where I'm from, he would have said this, that y'all can't walk anymore like the Gentiles do. This is a corporate, this is a corporate teaching here. That God has, we are a family of learners. What we need to learn is we need God's grace operative in our life, okay? We need a Bible, we need truth, and we need other believers in our life for checks and balances and to help us, because we all have blind spots and we all can help and encourage one another. All right? Just listen to what Paul says in earlier in chapter 4. This is not on the screen. Just listen to me. He says, and he gave the apostles and prophets and evangelists and shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up the body of Christ until we attain the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning and craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. How do we grow? How do we learn? We speak the truth to one another in love. We're a family of learners. We're on this journey together. And the way God has set it up, he just doesn't say, hey, you go to your room and read this and you'll be fine. We do this together. We're learners, but we're also family, and we'll get to that. But God's grace works through as we teach and love and equip and teach one another, speaking the truth in love. That doesn't mean, hey, I love you, so I'm going to tell you this. You just aggravate everybody to death, okay? Just quit. Just stop it. And I'm telling you this because I love you. That's not speaking the truth in love, all right? That's been a hijacked verse. What is truth? A few verses later, the truth that is in Jesus. Speaking Jesus to one another in love. Speaking gospel to one another in love. We're learners. The way we do that here is we have groups where we can get together and spend time together. Our first groups are PCGs, or Point Community Groups. We've got four rolling right now, kind of five. We have a Versailles group, and nobody here from here goes there because nobody's from Versailles. But we have four groups in Lexington where we gather sort of as family, and in that context, that's where we do that. We do some of that here, but we really speak the truth to one another in love there. We help to see, where are you struggling? Where can we pray for one another? How can I encourage you? How can I speak the gospel into your life? That's what we do when we show up for PCGs as learners. We do that. And then, this is new development over the last few months, but inside those PCGs, we want to break up even more into smaller groups called DNA groups. And that's PCGs are like everybody, kids and all, come, boom. And we eat, we do supper, we kind of pray and talk to one another, talk about some spiritual things, but it's pretty much light. But in the DNA groups, that's where it's just guys with guys, gals with gals, no kids. It's where we even get even deeper in helping one another teach and grow up in our salvation. It's where we show our commitment that we are learners. And because of that, we need one another, okay? So I encourage you, if you're not in a PCG, on the back of the Skinny Hour bulletin, there's a list of all them there. And I encourage you to contact the teacher, come see me or Joshua or Scott or whoever. Come see us and help us get you in that group, because we are learners. But it just doesn't happen, boom, as we work it out. We pursue it. We take hold, because this is we know that's who God's created us to be. And we want to pray that. Today, one of the ways that we just constantly remind ourselves of the gospel is that we take the Lord's Supper. It's just a constant reminder of what Christ did for us. His body broken. We take the bread, represents his body. We dip it in the juice, which is representative of Christ's blood poured out, shed for us. And we take it, and that is us saying that we are his followers. We embrace Jesus and the truth that is in him. We are his people, and it's a constant thing that we do. And so we do that, and so as we do that today, I pray that not only are we reminded of who God is and who Christ is, what Christ has done, and who we are as a result of that, but let's pray with Paul that we would be able to understand and comprehend even more so who he is. I end with this in Ephesians 1, and we'll pray, and we'll read this and then we'll pray. But this will sort of be our prayer. Paul writes to the Ephesians in chapter 1, and he's talking to them, and he says, "For this reason, because I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." And now notice what his prayer is, and this will be our prayer. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him." They're already believers. But what's Paul praying for more of? More revelation, more understanding in the knowledge of Christ. They're learners. That's who they are. That's what they need. "Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe." May that be our prayer as well. Father, thank you that you've made us learners. Thank you so much, Father, that we are no longer hostile to your truth at the very core of our being. For those of us who are in Christ, Lord, your grace has become operative in our life. You have opened our eyes, and you have caused us now to be no longer callous, but receptive and sensitive to your truth, to your revelation, Lord. And may we pursue it with all zeal, understanding who you are, what Christ has done for us, that now our sins are gone, and now we are your children, we are in you, and you are making us into this new person who will be completely and totally holy and righteous. May we work out our salvation with fear and trembling, knowing that you're at work within us to will and to work according to your good pleasure. And God, may we pursue that. May we truly be learners. And sometimes our learning can become hindered because we're not pursuing it. We have all that we need. You've given us everything we need for life and godliness in Christ. But sometimes we're not taking advantage of the resources that are yours. And there's people here today that although we're created now with this capacity to learn and comprehend and understand and therefore produce fruit and behavior and emotions, although we're called to that, some of us have become sidetracked. We don't read our Bibles. We don't hang out with other believers for the purposes of discipleship and growing and encouragement. We've believed lies. And I pray that now is a time for us to realize who we are in you, that now we have your spirit, now we can comprehend and understand, and that we would pray for it, pursue it, and then see fruit, just wonderful fruit as a result of it. Lord, if there's someone here today that's today's eyes, today their eyes have become enlightened. May they flee to you. May they run to you for mercy and grace. And may they turn from sin and follow Christ. Lord, we pray that you would continue to work in us. May we worship you. May we repent in the areas in which we need to repent. And may everything we do today bring glory and honor to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.